Morning, everybody, and happy Easter. This is a bit of a spoiler, actually, for later in the service, but Jesus is risen, and we celebrate today the greatest day in history. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's my favourite Sunday of the year. Jesus is alive. And children, it's lovely to have you as well as we celebrate this special day. So as part of our service this morning, we're going to have some readings, we're going to have some singing. We've got the children singing as well, I believe, which is a treat to look forward to. We've got reading and prayer. We've got a couple of messages as well. John's doing part one and I'm doing part two a bit later in the service as well. Also, afterwards, we do have refreshments, so please stay for hot cross buns, biscuits and drinks, I believe. So stay and enjoy them with us. We'd love to chat to you after. And if you have any questions about the service as well, that might be a good opportunity to ask them as well. So do stay. That'll be in the hall behind there afterwards. So we're going to start off our celebration and Thanksgiving this morning by singing about the risen Jesus. So when the music starts, we'll stand and we'll sing this great song of praise to the risen Jesus. So let's stand and sing. Okay, now Sue's class have very kindly agreed to come up and do a reading for us before John comes and speaks to us. So, Sue's class, do you want to come up? Thank you very much. Okay.
Pilate wanted to let Jesus go free, so he told the crowd, but they shouted again, kill him on a cross.
A third time, Pilate said to them, why, what wrong has he done? I can find no reason to kill him, so I will have him punished and set him free. But they continued to shout. They demanded that Jesus be killed on a cross. Their yelling became so loud that Pilate decided to give them what they wanted.
Lovely. Thank you. Brilliant reading. Well done. And I'm going to hand over to John. Thanks, John.
Well, before we start, I just need someone to help me quickly. So I'm going to have Flynn up here. I've got a little challenge for Flynn. So we're going to pull this table out, Flynn. Hang on a second. And I'm going to challenge Flynn to an arm wrestle. Because I hear Flynn's quite tough and he's quite big and he's quite strong. So if you go that side, Flynn. Now out here, how many people think that Flynn's going to beat me in an arm wrestle? Oh, a few of you. How many people think I'm going to beat Flynn in an arm wrestle? And I'm not going to take it easy on him here. So let's give it a go, Flynn. How many goes do you want at this? Right, so we go.
One.
Go on then, go. One, two, three. Are you going yet? Are we going? So I'm going to stop there. I haven't quite beat him, but how many people here think that Flynn, from that position, is going to come back and beat me? How many people think that I'm going to go on and carry on and beat Flynn? Pretty much all of you. Thank you, Flynn. You can go sit down. So I want to talk to you a little bit about defeat now. And I was going to ask you a question. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you're facing defeat in the face? Where something's happened, maybe you've played a sport, or maybe you've been at work, and something's happened, and it's totally hopeless for you, and you're facing defeat in the face. I think quite a lot of us can say that, can't we? Well, I've got a couple of examples up here. They're not great examples, but they're what I think of when I think about facing defeat in the face. So if I go for the first one. Oh, here we go. So this is AC Milan. And I was told by my son Elijah before I put this slide up to not talk about this team. Because in my opinion, this was one of the greatest teams put together. It might not mean anything to you, but there's people like Pirlo, Nesta, Cafu, Maldini, Kaká, Shevchenko. It means nothing to you, does it? But they were one of the greatest football teams put together. And they played in a Champions League final in 2005 against Liverpool. Now, we all know Liverpool, don't we? Now, when Liverpool played them in the final, something really, really, really bad happened to Liverpool. They ended up being 3-0 down at half-time in a cup final. Yep. It was so bad, people thought that they were completely defeated, that some of the fans left the stadium at half-time and went home. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I watched this with Steph. And do you know what she did at half-time? She went to bed and she said, "This is absolutely rubbish. I'm not watching this." But she was wrong. Because do you know what happened? The second half came round and they went from 3-0 down to lifting the trophy. They won. They scored 3 goals in the second half and they won on penalties. They were looking defeat right in the face, but then they turned it completely around. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? But it wasn't long lived because 2 years later, they played the same team in the Champions League final, AC Milan, and they lost. Oh. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? Now, some of you older ones will remember this one. So many years ago, a boxer called Muhammad Ali, he fought another guy called George Foreman. Now, Muhammad Ali was considered the greatest boxer of all time, but he came up against this guy, George Foreman, and he was seen as somebody that nobody could beat. In fact, they were like saying that Muhammad Ali, he might not even come out of the ring alive. He was so big, he was so strong, he was knocking people out left, right and centre when it came to boxing. And they gave Muhammad Ali no chance. And do you know what happened?
What?
I'm going to tell you. He spent 8 rounds just lying on a rope, Muhammad Ali did. And he kept letting this guy punch him. Everybody that was watching it was saying, this is going to turn into a bloodbath here. He's going to be defeated. And George Foreman was pummeling him. And everyone was saying, the referee's got to stop this fight. The referee's got to stop this fight. He is looking defeat in the face. But then something happened. In the 8th round, Muhammad Ali knocked George Foreman down and won the fight. He was looking defeat completely in the face. And he turned it completely around and he ended up winning. But again, it wasn't long-lived because if we go to this one here, 4 years later, he lost to a 25-year-old boxer and he lost his title, and it didn't live long. Now, I want to talk to you about another defeat now that somebody really, really, really awesome and great faced. And this person was facing not a football match. He wasn't facing a boxing match. He was facing something even worse than that in his defeat. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you about this, but I want to give you a bit of a background. Does anybody know who I might be talking about here? Who do you think, Freddie? I am talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't an ordinary person, was he? No. Nothing was ordinary about Jesus. Jesus was born in a very miraculous way, wasn't he? At Christmas time, we celebrate that, how the Virgin Mary gave birth to this promised son. Jesus grew up, and there was nothing, you know, that wasn't miraculous about him. He was 12 years old when he went into the temples, and he was teaching older people about the Bible, and they were absolutely amazed by it. But the things that he was teaching them was really, really important. He was teaching all these people that we're all here in this life. We have something wrong with us, don't we? Now, you young ones, what do you think that is that Jesus comes to teach us about this, that we've got this wrong? What do you think that is? He talks about sin, doesn't he? That we all have sin in our lives and we need to be made right from that. So Jesus, when he was 12, was teaching this. But then he grew up, and in his early 30s, he started to go about all over the places where he was living and all over the country, visiting towns and villages, and he started doing amazing things. He started doing really amazing things. Not only was he teaching people about who he was and how people needed to be saved from their sins and how they could be, he was performing miracles. He was healing people. So people that couldn't walk, he was making them walk again. People that couldn't see, that were blind, he was making them see again. He was turning water into wine. And can you remember when he had 5,000 people come to see him and he just had just a little bit of food, didn't he? He had 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And what did he do? Did he feed them all? He did, didn't he? Yeah, because it was miracles. He was doing these amazing miracles. And people were coming from all over the place to hear him, and they were starting to believe who he truly was, because this was the promised Saviour, the promised King that God was going to send to save us from our sins. And the amazing thing with Jesus, there was not one thing wrong with him. He was perfect in every single way. Yet, he was put to death. And we had in the reading here, if we go back to the reading now, it says, Pilate wanted to let Jesus go free, so he told this to the crowd. But they shouted again, kill him on a cross. A third time, Pilate said to them, why? What wrong has he done? I can find no reason to kill him, so I'll have him punished and set free. But they continued to shout. They demanded that Jesus be killed on the cross. Their yelling became so loud that Pilate decided to give them what they wanted. Now, this is really sad, because Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He had done nothing wrong whatsoever. Even Pilate, who was the one that could make the ultimate decision whether he lived or died, he saw that Jesus had done nothing wrong at all, yet he gave in to what the crowd wanted. He said he was going to put him to death on a cross. Now, this is a bit strange now, isn't it? Because we've got this Jesus who was born in a miraculous way, the promised Saviour. He's performed all these miracles. He's healed so many people. Yet here he is looking defeat in the face. So all the things that he's come to tell the people about, and especially how they can be saved from their sins through him, it's looking like Jesus is facing the ultimate defeat here up on the cross, isn't it? And he must have felt so alone at this point, because can you imagine that you were talking to thousands and thousands of people at a time when they were coming to see him and listen to him, and they really did think that he was the promised Messiah. Yet when he was put to death upon the cross, everybody turned on him. Even the disciples that were with him and saw all these wonderful things, they turned away and they left and they ran and they fled. All those people, when he came into Jerusalem just before he was put on the cross, they turned against him and they turned away. And ultimately, his father, God, turned his face away from him too. And it looked like Jesus was completely defeated. Everything that he came to teach us how we could be made right looked like it was just going to evaporate. But we have some good news. Because I was talking to you about Good Friday. What are we in today? Easter. Easter Sunday. And the story doesn't end at the cross on Good Friday. There is good news. And we're going to hear a little bit more about this in a minute when Mark comes up to speak to us in part two. Okay, so we're going to sing now our second song this morning. And then afterwards, James is going to come up and he's going to pray for us. But we're going to be singing God Sent His Son. So please stand when the music starts.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we can come to you in prayer on this Easter Sunday. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to open our hearts and help us to realize that Easter is not just about the eggs, it's not just about the family gatherings and the delightful food, Heavenly Father. Help us to realize the true meaning of Easter in our hearts, the meaning that you sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to take away our sin. Help us to realise this, Lord, that this is a gift so worth having. And help us, Lord, to understand that he has risen again on this Easter Sunday. And, Lord, that we should be so thankful that we can come to you openly in prayer. We can confess our sins our iniquities, our troubles, Lord, and you can take them away from us, all because of the Easter weekend, Lord. This is such a great blessing that we as sinners do not deserve, Lord, but you have given this to us freely, and I am so thankful for this. Lord, I pray to you, those who haven't come to you, let this message of this Easter Sunday open their hearts, Lord. Let this message help them to be more receptive to you, Lord. Help them come to you, to know you, Lord, like we do, and how glorious life is, Lord, with you in it, and how their lives can be changed so much for the better, like all of ours have, Lord. Help us, Lord, as your servants, to spread your word to those people, Lord, that have yet to come to you. Help us, Lord, to imbue our lives within theirs, Lord. Help us to show the way, Lord, the true way, and that show those people that you are truly the light of the world, and life is so much more worth living with you in it with us, Lord. This is another gift, Lord, from you that we can never be thankful enough for, and all the thank yous in our lifetime is never enough for the great things that you have done for us as individuals and families. Lord, I could never thank you enough for what you have done for me, and Lord, I am so grateful to be in your presence. It is the greatest blessing of all, Lord. Lord, I'd like to bring those forward to you this morning who are less fortunate. Those, Lord, who this Easter weekend is not going to be a great time. Lord, those of you where the Easter holidays are not going to be filled with fun and laughter and enjoyment together as a family. Only this last couple of weeks we have seen so much pain. And Lord, I bring that family to you that they will get to know you, Lord, and they can be opened up to you. But Lord, there are so many people less fortunate. Those people who will not have Easter eggs or friends or family or meals. They may be alone. They may be suffering in silence, Lord. But I bring those lonely, broken people to you, and I hand them over to you, Lord, that you can work with them, Lord, that you can open up their minds and their hearts and their spirits, Lord, and that they can come to you where you can grow them and you can mold them, but you can also help live their lives with them. And you can change their lives, Lord. And Lord, I beg of this of you, to bring those people to you. I beg, Lord, that all the people that do not yet know you to come to you, Lord, and realize that you are the greatest blessing in life. Lord, I bring those to you who are sick and poorly. We know so many. There is so much sick and poorliness in the world. There is so much disease. There is so much hurtful things, Lord. And I bring those to you, Lord, that they will find your healing power. You are the one who could raise the dead. You could help the blind to see. You could help the lame to walk, Lord. And those people, not only sick in physical form, but also in mental form, I hand over to you. Work within them, Lord. Bestow your gracious, loving and healing power upon them, that they will get well, Lord. They will get better, Lord. And that with your power, they can grow strong once again in your presence. Heavenly Father, I bring to you the persecuted Christians. We can come to you so freely on this Easter Sunday. We can gather so freely together in our presence with our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. But as you know, there are so many people around the world who cannot gather. They have to do this in hiding, in fear for their lives. They are persecuted so terribly, Lord. And I bring those persecuted Christians to you, that one day they can openly pray. They can one day openly profess their love for you without fear of what could happen to them and their families, Lord. It is so sad that these people have to hide and shy away, and this isn't the way it should be, Lord. Everyone around the world should be able to gather freely like we have this morning and be able to bless you and come to you and love you and pray to you and sing to you, all in your glorious name, Lord, freely. And Lord, I ask you to open the hearts of those persecutors, the ones who believe the Christians are wrong. Help them to see the light. Help them to realize that you are the light of the world. You are the good in the universe. Help them to see that they are the wrong. Help them to understand these things in a better way. And Lord, I would just like to thank you for all you have done, all you have given us, the way you provide everything we need, the way we know our lives are mapped out before us, but safely. We might not know what's going on, but you do. We know our lives are in such safe hands. And there are times, Lord, when we hit trials and tribulations and we wonder, why is this happening, Lord? But we are safe in the knowledge that these things are happening because it is your will. It is what you want us to do. We may not know the meaning straight away, Lord, but we know there is a greater meaning behind it all. And I thank you that you give us all the wonderful things around us, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the beautiful scenery, our freedom, our lives, our loves. All this comes from you, Lord. And without it, Lord, we would have nothing. Our lives would be barren. It would be a wasteland, a wasted wasteland without you. And Lord, I ask you again, anyone who is here today who has not yet come to you, open your hearts, seek the Lord, and I guarantee you, you will have a gracious life ahead of you and an even more gracious life afterwards, where we can come to know our Lord and Saviour personally in glory. And thank you, Lord, for this Easter Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for raising your Son. Thank you, Lord, that we have so much to live for, and we as Christians have our sins taken away from us because of this day. Heavenly Father, I can never thank you enough, but I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you have done. And I ask all of these wonderful things in our Lord and Saviour's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, James. Now it's the time for the children to come up on stage and to sing. So, Gwen's class, would you like to come up first? Sue and Auntie Ray's class, would you like to come up? Cool. And Arabella and Leah's class, would you like to come up? Do you want to come up, Eleanor, yet? She's got OCD, Arabella.
<Since you. laughs>
Right. Are you ready then? Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. We'll sing it through twice. Yeah. Really loud voice. Yeah.
He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Okay, the children are going to sing one more. They're going to sing the verse and the chorus to this, and then when the second verse comes in, we're all going to stand and we're going to join in with the children. That sounds good, doesn't it? Excellent. Class, do you want to go and sit down? And Sue's class, do you want to go down? Who's doing the reading for your class? You need to go and get it. Yeah, go and get your readings in. Well, before Mark comes up to take us in the last part this morning, we've got a couple of readings from Gwen's classes, so I'm going to hand over to them.
Luke 24, verse 1 to 7. Very early on the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. They brought the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. They went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, two men in shining clothes suddenly stood beside them.
The women were very afraid. They bowed their heads to the ground. The men said to the woman, "Why are you looking for a living person here? This is a place for the dead. Jesus is not here. He has risen from the dead. Do you remember what he said in Galilee? He said that the Son of Man must be given to evil men, be killed on a cross, and rise from death on the third day."
1 Corinthians 15, verse 54-57. So this body that returns with cloth in itself with that which never ruins, and this body that dies with cloth itself with that which never dies. When this happens, the scripture will be made true. Death is destroyed forever in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your power to hurt? Death's power to hurt is sin. The power of sin is the law. But we thank God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Over to Mark.
So we left Jesus facing defeat in the face. Things were not looking good for Jesus. But as John said, that's not the end of the story. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. I think you probably know there's a bit more coming. But I need your help, children, first, okay? Can anyone tell me whose flag is this? What country's flag is this? Yeah. France. And who can tell me, how do you say hello in France? Yeah. Bonjour. Yeah, very good. Excellent. What about this country? What about this one? Yeah. Spain. Very good. And can anyone tell me, how do you say hello in Spanish? Yes. Hola. Hola. Very good. Can anyone tell me this flag? Greece, very good, very good. Now, I don't know what hello is in Greece. Maybe some of you adults do. I don't. I'm not going to ask you that, but I am going to tell you a Greek word. I bet you didn't think you'd be learning Greek this morning, did you? But this is the word, and if there's any Greek scholars, I apologize for how I say this if I get it wrong. This word, tetelestai, tetelestai. So I'm going to say it, and then children, I want you to repeat it, okay? So tetelestai, tetelestai, tetelestai. Tetelestai. And the adults, tetelestai. Very good. Now, what on earth does tetelestai mean? Because I've never said that. It's a Greek word. It means this. It means it is finished. And you know, this is one of the very last things, not quite the last thing, but very nearly the last thing that Jesus said when he was on the cross, when he was about to die. He said this, tetelestai. He says, it is finished. And do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, I've won. I've got the victory. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, mission complete. He's just about to die, but he's saying, I've won. It's finished. Mission complete. Now, what on earth was Jesus' mission? If he was just about to die, what was his mission? Well, do you remember this? What's all this about? Who can tell me what's it's about, children? Christmas. Yeah, it feels like ages ago now, doesn't it? But Christmas. And this is what we often think about at Christmas. Do you remember what they're told about Jesus? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, that is Jesus' mission. Jesus came to save people like you and me from our sins. That was his mission. And the way he does it is by dying on the cross. And so as Jesus on the cross, it looks like he's been defeated. Everyone's sad, everyone's so upset, but Jesus is saying, I've won. The victory is mine. Mission complete, I've won. And what does this mean? Well, it means Jesus has conquered sin, and it means that Jesus can forgive us. You know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, the Bible talks about how much our sin has wrecked us and this world. In fact, it talks early in the Bible about the fact that sin is the reason why death is in this world in the first place. And Jesus, as God's Son, comes in to defeat sin, to conquer it, to offer us forgiveness. And you know, that is a beautiful thing, that we can know forgiveness from our sins. And maybe some of us, maybe some of you adults especially, if you've been, you feel like, you know, you've lived life a fair amount on this earth, and maybe you feel the weight of your guilt or your shame. You know you're far from perfect. You know, this is good news for you, that your sins can be forgiven. Everything that you've done wrong, all your shame, all your guilt, can be wiped away freely by Jesus. All you have to do is ask him for his forgiveness, because Jesus has got the victory over sin. And you know, there's a good number of people here this morning who in the past have been weighed down so heavily by guilt, me included. And Jesus has forgiven us. And it is the most incredible thing. So Jesus has the victory over sin. It means we can be forgiven. All of us, the Bible says, are sinners. We need to be forgiven. And Jesus gives us that freely. But it still looks like defeat, doesn't it? Because Jesus still dies. Jesus still dies. But of course, that's not the end of the story, is it? Because there's still more. There's another victory. This is what was read to us. They found, when the women got there, when the women got to the grave of Jesus, the tomb of Jesus, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. They went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, two men in shining clothes suddenly stood beside them. The women were very afraid. They bowed their heads to the ground. The men said to the women, "Why are you looking for a living person here? This is a place for the dead. Jesus is not here. He has risen from death." Jesus is alive. That is the good news they heard. I say this. Do you remember what he said in Galilee? He said that the Son of Man must be given, so Jesus, must be given to evil men to be killed on the cross and rise from death on the third day. You see, Jesus being killed, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a sad story. This was part of his wonderful plan all along. He had to die so that he could rise again, so that he could also have victory over death too. So Jesus has conquered sin and he's got victory over death as well. Now, why is that exciting news for us? Because Jesus lived quite a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. That's a long time ago. Why is that good news for us? Well, these are the three lions. We recognise this, right, from England football. Maybe you watch football. The Euros are coming up, or maybe you like watching the Lionesses. You like watching England. And it's funny, isn't it? Because when England win, what do we often say? We say, "We won." Yeah. Maybe some people get more excited than others. But you say, "We won." And, do you know, I might be sitting on the sofa with a hot chocolate. I didn't win. But because I'm English, maybe Welsh people wouldn't say this. Apologies to you. But English people, you say, "We won. We won." Even though we didn't. Because the players on the pitch, whoever they are, got the victory for us. And we get to join in. We can celebrate with them. You know, Paul in the New Testament, he was writing part of the Bible. And this is what he says. He says this. He says that God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. So we get to share in the victory over sin and over death. We get to share that victory as if we've conquered it too. Now, I want to tell you a story to help with this. Okay. Now, many years ago, I reckon I was probably about your age, probably year 5 or 6, I reckon, at school. It's a bit of a guess. I was at my uncle's house, and he was telling me about this ride at Alton Towers called Oblivion. And he was saying that what you do is you get strapped in, and then you go up and up and up, and then you go around a little bit, and then it tilts you over the edge of this big drop, and then it holds you there for a little bit so that you're just staring down, and then suddenly it drops you. Yeah, shall I show you a picture of it? This is Oblivion. There you go. Oh, put your hands up if anyone's been on this. Has anyone? Not many, a few. And for years, I was terrified of this ride. I was really scared of it, even though I lived nowhere near it and thought I'd probably never go on it. And then, do you know, one day I went, and it was meant to be a really good day. But I spent most of the day pretty scared of going on this ride. And it got to the end of the day, and I hadn't been on it. And I didn't actually have to go on it, but I thought, I've got to go on it. I've got to face my fear. And so we queued up, and we were watching this ride. This is what it looks like from the bottom. Look at that. Can you see them all at the top? It's about 180 foot you drop down. And you drop down right into a big hole in the ground like this. So you don't even just go above ground. You go underground. And do you know, I was there and I was in a queue and I was watching all these people go round. And you go down, you fly down into the hole, and then you pop out the other side and you go round. And people got off buzzing with excitement. And I thought, I've got to go on it. And it very nearly was cancelled just before I got on. And then I did get on. And my friend, who had been looking forward to it all day, was suddenly crying like a little baby. And I was actually quite looking forward to it. But we got to the point where you tilt over the top. And you're just waiting to drop into this hole. But do you know, even though I knew we were going underground, do you know, I knew that I was going to come out the other side again because I'd seen so many people do it before me. I knew that, yeah, I've been going underground, but soon I'll pop out the other side. And it was going to be scary on the way down, but I'll be all right. And do you know what? We fly down it super quick. It takes about a second. And then you go into the tunnel, yeah, and you burst out into the sunshine again. You're only in the dark for about 2 seconds. And you burst out into the sunshine. And do you know, it's a bit of a funny picture, but in some ways that's a little bit of a picture of what happens if we're connected to Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus, what happened with him? He died and he was buried and then he rose again. And, you know, the Bible says that if we follow Jesus, if we put our trust in him, if we are sort of connected to him, as it were, then, yes, we will die too. And that is sad. But, you know, the reason why I love Easter and the reason why Christians love Easter so much is because we're promised that just as Jesus rose again, so we will too. That death is not the end. That we too will burst back into the sunshine, as it were, and we will have what God describes as eternal life. This life with him where there is no more sin, there is no more death, there's no more sadness. That is the hope that Christians have. And so that is why we get excited about Easter Sunday. And I just want to finish with this very quickly. Most famous verse in the Bible, probably, but it's really helpful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this is what we're called to do. We're called to believe in Jesus Christ, to say sorry for our sins, to follow him. And the Bible says, if we do that, we will not perish, but he will give us, by his grace, by his mercy, eternal life, true life. And that is why, as Christians, we absolutely love Easter and can't stop talking about it. Now, I realise I've made some huge statements. John has made some huge statements this morning. Easter Sunday is a day of huge statements. If you have any questions or doubts, you just want to talk to us or chat to a friend, please do. Let's say we're staying afterwards, so please come and chat to us or ask people around you who might be able to help you. We'd love to chat to you about some of this stuff. But that's why we celebrate Easter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mark. I know death can be sensitive subject, can't it, to some of us, but what the wonderful thing is that if you're a Christian, and because of what Jesus done, we can find true hope through death. And we're going to be singing in our final song now about that. So I really do encourage you to, first and foremost, raise your voices as you sing, but as we sing, to really, really take on board what these words are saying about what Jesus Christ has done. So please stand when the music starts.
Oh,
just before I close in prayer, I've got a few notices. One for any of you that are coming this evening to our evening service at 6:30. You're obviously all welcome to come, but we're going to be having singing afterwards. And I've been asked if anyone has got any requests of any songs that they'd like to sing there, please come to speak to you, John. Would that be the best one to speak to? Speak to John. So this is your chance. If you have a favourite song that you'd like to sing this evening, that includes you kids as well, you're more than welcome to speak to John, and we'll be singing after the service this evening. Another one, have we got the flyer for the Spring Bible Weekend that we can just chuck up quickly? So we've got our Spring Bible Weekend that's coming up soon on the 18th and 19th of May. It's for the kids. They love doing this, don't you? Where we do lots of fun games and crafts. We have talks there. I do encourage you, if you know anyone, you have any family or friends that are wanting to come to this, it's ages 4 to 11, you know, everyone's more than welcome to come. It's a really good thing, really enjoyable for them to come to. So I encourage you to ask them along. Next one, we've got the men's golf event coming up on the 11th of May. This has always been a really good event. People like the golf, but I think people enjoy the breakfast more. So, you know, if you don't like golf, don't worry, you can enjoy a big breakfast there. There's going to be more details to follow. But if you want to put it in your diary, this is for all men. You know, it's on the 11th of May, and it's a really good morning. So we come down here, we have a big fry-up. We have a short message, and then we go out and enjoy some time on the golf course. And it doesn't matter if you're not a good golfer. It really doesn't matter. Just come and enjoy the time being together, walking about with people, hitting a few balls, and for the breakfast also. The other thing I just want to say, if any of you do have any questions about today, you know, we've been hearing about what happened with Jesus in his defeat and in his victory. Some of you might have questions, but you might find it, well, who do I speak to? Or you might feel a bit unsure who you speak to. Well, this is the perfect place to be today, isn't it? You're in a church where there are lots of Christians who are here celebrating the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So feel free to speak to people here and ask questions. You know, we'd be more than happy to speak to you and answer anything that you have to ask. But also, if you do want to ask more questions, we do run a Hope Explored course here, and Jane and Martin run this. I'm not quite sure when the dates are for the next one, but we can find them for you. But it's a really, really good course that you can go on, where you can sit in an environment where you feel comfortable, and you explained a few things about what the Bible teaches us, and you can ask and be open about asking questions that you might have about what Christianity is all about. So I really do encourage you for that. And the last thing, the best thing of all for you kids, I think we've got some little treats for you afterwards. And there are refreshments next door, so please stay for coffees, teas, hot cross buns, biscuits. Be lovely to have you all stay with us. So I'm just going to pray now, just to close. Heavenly Father, we just come before you on this amazing day where we can celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he overcame and defeated death completely. He rose again so that people who truly put their trust in you can be saved. And Lord, we thank you so much that this is a message for everybody. It's not just for the rich, it's not just for the poor, it's not just for the elderly, it's not just for the young, it's for absolutely everybody. It doesn't matter how clever or how much we do not understand these things, all we have to do is that simple faith to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells us we will be saved. So I just encourage anybody here today who does not know you to maybe just take a quiet moment to think and ask questions, maybe to someone today, and ask about what this really means for us if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, do be with us now, we do pray. We pray that you'll give us really good time together as we go next door for refreshments. And we thank you so much for the food that you've provided. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.